The Bible study on KFUO Radio is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ in faithfulness, servanthood, responsiveness, and excellence, Concordia Seminary.
Good morning and welcome to the rainy, dreary Tuesday edition of the Bible study here on KFUO Radio. KFUO Radio is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Blettner. Thanks for joining us this morning. What a better thing to do than maybe get yourself a nice cup of cocoa or a nice hot cup of coffee, maybe even a nice cup of tea, and sit back and enjoy a little Bible study here on KFUO. Joining us this morning is Pastor John Schmidtke from Bethlehem Lutheran Church here in St. Louis, a good friend of the program. You're heard all over the clock here at KFU morning, in the afternoon, on the Bible study.
I've decided today after your weather forecast, I'm feeling a bit drizzly.
Yes.
Drizzly.
That makes two of us, my brother. It does. It's that time of year. Hey, you know, it's just a couple of days before Christmas. Yeah. What else is a pastor going to do besides get sick?
That's right. I feel great, really. It's just my voice is drizzly. Christmas is coming this weekend, but in some ways at our church, Christmas was this last Sunday.
Really? Why is that?
Well, Christmas traditionally in our community, in the urban community, tends to hit, the celebration of it is usually the Sunday before. And then we started a number of years ago Christmas Eve services, but most Christmas Day, we don't have service normally on Christmas Day this year because it's a Sunday. But normally, the big service is the Sunday before Christmas, and it was big last Sunday.
Good, good.
Yeah, it was great. Great time.
Now, you're under extra pressure because, Bethlehem Lutheran Church, you're the focus of the season right now, right?
Yeah.
Or is that the Jesus thing? I get confused.
That's the Jesus thing, yeah. We're just small among the clans of Judah.
Ah, there you go. But yet...
out
of you will come an incredible gift to all of mankind. Well, you get to launch us into a new study today. We start the book of 1 Peter.
1 Peter, yes.
A book we have not been in for a while, as best I could tell from the Bible study calendar.
Yeah. First, so, great place to start.
Yeah, well, let's begin with prayer, and then we'll get right to Peter.
All right. As we draw closer, Lord, in this holy week toward Christmas, we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to keep us close to you and to seeing your word and seeing what our inheritance is. Even though it's one day in one sense, it's right now in another very real sense, that you are Emmanuel, God come to be with us. And we're grateful that as we walk through the days of this life, that we never walk on our own, that you're with us and you're supporting us and most of the time even carrying us. And so show yourself to be the Emmanuel to all those listening in this time who are going through difficulty and suffering, those that have great stress and anxiety about what the world's picture of Christmas would be and how that has infiltrated their understanding of what the real meaning of Christmas is. And be with those, Lord, who are going through death and bereavement or serious sickness with somebody in their family. I can think of many that I know of right now in our church and among friends. Lord, walk with them through this time as Emmanuel. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Schmidtke. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. KFUO at KFUO.org. Now, here was my thinking in going to 1 Peter, Pastor. We just had Easter right here before Christmas as we rounded out Matthew. The Great Commission, the last thing we spoke about yesterday, about go and baptize and teach and convert all the world, or at least make efforts at doing that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's sort of like bringing someone new into the church. You know, you put them through adult confirmation class and you welcome them into the congregation, and the natural question seems to be, now what?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Here we have Peter in the now what phase of the church, I think.
Yeah. Peter's in this first epistle, it really flows out of Easter. In fact, I think I can't, you know, rip these off my mind, but I think after Easter, in one of the years of the common lectionary readings, those are the readings that some churches, most Lutheran churches, use in a series of three years. Every 3 years it changes, and it, or repeats rather. I think coming right out of Easter, First Peter becomes the epistle reading many times there. And it makes sense as far as Peter says, and we'll get to the text very quickly, about a new birth and a living hope and baptism and new life that comes at Easter time. And yet, at the same time, as I was looking here, I think Peter really, in what he's going to speak to and who he's writing to, he speaks really to us at this time of Christmas, days in front of Christmas. Let me just paint that picture, and then we're going to go in and read. Peter is writing to Christians, number one, who are experiencing various forms of persecution. And you're going to see that all throughout this letter, is that these are Christians who are hurting. And not only are they hurting, but as I'm just going to go ahead and read verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside, those who live as aliens. Now, we'll come back to that in a minute. We're not speaking of something science fiction there, but aliens as in the sense of they're in a place where they don't belong, they don't live, and so they're aliens. Scattered, another important word, through Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Nevertheless, those who are chosen. We'll come back there in a minute. But Peter is writing to Christians who are scattered. I find a few summers ago I got to go and do some ministry. Got to preach for 16 days in Africa.
Wow.
And it was just marvelous. Uganda, and we just had a wonderful time. How we enjoyed when we would walk into a restaurant when we were in Uganda, and we would be listening, and we would hear the talk of some other Americans. Because we were there, and everybody we saw and everybody we looked around were not United States of America. They were Ugandan or some other African nation. Well, in that same way, Peter's writing to Christians who are scattered. And when you're scattered and there's not a lot of people around, or you're in small groups, or maybe you're alone, you feel alone sometimes. Especially when life isn't going well. Remember, he said that these Christians are going through persecution. When you're going through hard times and painful things, and you're not in the majority, you feel alone. Just like some folks face at this time of the year, Christmas time. Some will go on Christmas Day and be among family, tons of family. Others will be all alone. That's true in reality. And some, even when they're among family, some of you listening, because of maybe an anniversary of a father or a mother who died at this time of the year that you're still working through, maybe as a good friend in our church is going through right now, whose father died last Tuesday night, suddenly in his sleep, and then the funeral's tomorrow. This Christmas is going to be a time of, even if she's with 30 people at the house, she's still going to feel alone, mm-hmm. Something missing. Well, what do you do in that kind of situation? What do you do when you feel alone, when you are alone, it seems, and when you're facing pain and persecution? How do you go on? You can close up, you know, just go to sleep and just believe that when you wake up, it's going to be gone. Some of you listening out there know different, right? It doesn't work that way. Or you could get angry and, you know, sort of do the, you know, curse God thing, you know, like they were telling Job to do, you know, after what God's done to you and what he hasn't done for you. Well, Peter comes here with a different picture, really the biblical picture, what Christ would have us do, and actually not what Christ would have us do, but Christ's good news to us of the hope that he gives us. So I think with that, that's who we're talking to. You, if you go back in your history books, you would see this book is written around 64 AD, somewhere around there, when the Emperor Nero was persecuting the Christians. So there are very real hard times and hard political times. And you know what? That kind of even brings me back to thinking about Bethlehem. You know, it's not that quiet, Bethlehem. It's occupied. You know, our friends, one of our sister churches, Lord of Life Chesterfield, they did a couple weeks ago, every year they do a return to Bethlehem, this kind of Bethlehem presentation.
Right.
And I think one of the most powerful things in it, and it's great to watch when we take kids out there, that scares the kids. I love it, and I hope it's the best when you got good guards. You know, who all of a sudden, as you're wandering through this journey of what Bethlehem is like, this small town that's heavily occupied and populated, here comes the guards that says, "Move it along!" You know, or you know, where the prophet's speaking and the guard comes along and says, "Don't listen to him!" You know, that's right where we are. Maybe we should go and read the text.
I'm enjoying what you're having to say.
Let's read the text, because that's the important word.
All right. I'm using the ESV version. What version do you have?
I'm an NASB, but go ahead.
They'll work out pretty close, I think.
Yeah.
To those who are elect, exiles of the dispersion, as you read, we pick up then, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Okay, now that seems like a lot of prepositions there.
Yeah. Glad you stopped there. Peter, he's writing to these Christians who are hurting, who are scattered. And then the first word that he really brings, if you got your Bible open or check later, the last word in my version at the end of verse 1 is he says, you're aliens, you're scattered, you're going through hard times, as it were. You are, but, and you might even put a but in there, you are chosen. Chosen. You are the people of God. Don't forget that. That's what Peter says. Chosen. That's a word that scares people. Because along with chosen goes...
There are different definitions in different parts of the church for that word, yes.
Yeah, along with chosen goes words like election.
Yes.
And then when he says chosen, verse 2, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, and then by the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, chosen. Some people get uptight about that because they think chosen means we're going to sort out who's saved and who isn't. No, that's not the way it is. Chosen, and he's speaking to people who are already believers, and he's reminding them of who they are. That God has had you, the readers, as you and me. He's had us on his mind from the beginning. The God who was and is to come, as the book of Revelation says. And as the book of Hebrews says, the Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday and today and forever. There was never a time, even before you and I were born, check Ephesians chapter 1, it would remind us, God knew who we were. He knew about us. And he had planned to send Jesus Christ to be our Savior. Election, or to say it in these scriptural words, you who are chosen. That is a teaching for us who are believers, and it's so comforting. God, I've never been out of God's mind. Remember how the prophet Isaiah said it? I think it's the 49th chapter, around 13, verse 13, something like that. I've inscribed you on the palm of my hand. I never forget you. I always know you. Now, I take the word of God literally. Never means never. Even when I'm messing up and I'm going the wrong way, he still, who called me and chose me at baptism, he has never forgotten me, always forgiving me, but never forgotten me. And that's exactly what these suffering Christians here needed, really, to know, as you're feeling alone. You know, because you're scattered and you're going through the persecutions, you know, from the government and then people around you as well, as the kids today would say they're all a bunch of haters. You know, they're hating you. They're not receiving you. You're finding no support. But here comes Peter along in this letter where he says, I want you to know that despite what you're seeing, God has chosen you. And then he goes further. He says, in what? By the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Because you might be out there saying, God has chosen me. Well, I just messed up again. You know, I just sinned again. I broke the promises that I made to him last week when I came into his house. And then he says, no, you're chosen because of the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Sanctifying means cleaning you and me up, being sprinkled with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The next phrase goes. And then he says, and you've got a purpose now. Now, here's where many times we drop the ball. I'm chosen. I'm saved. I'm cleansed. For what?
Now
what? Well, just to be chosen and saved and cleansed. No. Peter says, to obey Jesus Christ. Don't like that word. To obey Jesus Christ. I'm not chosen, cleansed, and saved to live however I feel like. I'm chosen, cleansed, and saved to obey Jesus Christ. I'm not chosen, cleansed, and saved because I obey Jesus Christ. That's false. But as one who's been chosen, cleansed, and saved, my direction is to seek to obey Lord Jesus Christ, which I do imperfectly. And then this last phrase. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Man, we could just spend our whole time, I know we're going to move, on just these first two verses. In the fullest measure, in the most complete way, you who are feeling lonely, you are feeling forgotten on your own, he says, grace to you. What I hear him saying there, grace to you, that even for what you are not, Christ is and was at the cross just 30 years ago, you know? And peace to you. Not peace in the sense of, oh, keep it down, keep it quiet, you know, let it all, no more war. No. Peace in the sense of completeness to you. You're complete. You're taken care of. I've got your front. I've got your back. I've got your right. I've got your left. I got above you. I got under you, God says. Because in Jesus Christ, he's paid for your sins. And I am your Father who will take care of you. You're chosen.
Let's go to the phones. Bob, good morning. Thanks for joining us here on the Bible Study with Pastor Schmidtke. Go ahead.
Good morning, Roland. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning.
This business about being chosen, it reminds me of when I was younger. We used to live in Wyoming, and I used to watch sheep herders as they would bring their sheep down from the mountains in the fall. And the sheep herder would try to keep them all together, but you would have some that would run off and take off and go in different directions and so on. And that reminds me of God's. He has chosen everyone.
Yes.
But you have those who take off and run, and they got their own agenda, and they aren't going to be in that flock that God has chosen.
Yeah. You know, that's great. I'm glad you brought that to us. Chosen everyone. Chosen is not the same. You can't say, you would say this, he has chosen us, but he's not chosen to manipulate us.
Right.
And that's where, because some people would say, you know, he's chosen everyone. Right. God wants all to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. He died for all. But why aren't all saved? Well, because we reject him. He comes, Emmanuel comes right by our side at Christmas time, and then by faith that the Holy Spirit works in us. Well, why are he, the Lord, and some separated? It's not that he left. It's that they did.
Yeah.
Yeah. But thanks, Bob, for reminding us of how chosen we are. You know, that we are chosen and we are safe and we're secure. And the picture Bob brings up is the marvelous picture of the shepherd and the sheep. John,
you know,
chapter 10, no one can snatch you out of my hands.
I hate the comparison of us to sheep, because I used to work with sheep, and they're smelly, they're dirty, they're stupid. and they're us.
Seems to fit, yeah.
Oh, man, yeah, it's right on target, isn't it?
Yeah. That's a perfect analogy. Even though I hate it, it's a perfect analogy.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
Okay, this is where he's framed us. I've got you. You are chosen. You are mine in every way. Now he's going to explore that further with a doxology beginning in verse 3.
What is a doxology?
Doxology is a praise unto God. And that's why he starts it out with, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go ahead.
According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time.
Let's stop there. So, did you hear he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again. Now, circle that in your Bible. Born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We're born again. We're given new birth. First, let's say baptism language. That's where the new birth that Jesus won at the cross and through his resurrection is applied. Remember that that Bible passage, I mean, it fits so well here, of Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Remember this one? Therefore we've been buried with Jesus Christ through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Brand new life that starts in baptism. Brand new life. And Peter here is reminding us that wherever we are, through Christ, there is a new life given to us through faith in baptism. Why would he be doing that? Why would he be reminding us of that? I mean, maybe some of these folks were baptized, you know, a few years ago, you know. Maybe some of you listening baptized 60, 70, 80 years ago. Why would he be reminding you? There's a new birth into a living hope, a brand new life. Because sometimes, especially at those times when you feel alone, regrets can weigh you down. And you start to think about embarrassing and disappointing moments of your life where you dropped it. Anybody who's a parent knows about that. See, in the old school, you know, when you messed up, you said, well, that's the way it is because I'm the father, right?
Oh, for those days to come back.
Yeah, that's what Ward Cleaver said, yeah. You know. But then June would come along, you know, from the Beaver, and June would say, Ward, you know, I don't think you quite, you know, had that right.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You know, well, we all have those embarrassing moments where we've blown it. And somewhere in there, you know, it's easy. The devil would use that easily to try to discourage us and say, see, you know, who are you? Look what you've done. You fell into it again. You walked into the mud of sin again. How could God ever love you? You're not progressing in your faith. You're regressing.
Do pastors ever get to that point?
All the time. You've got to, as Jeremiah said, I found this wonderful passage in Jeremiah the other day, Jeremiah 23. You've got to go into the counsel of the Lord before you can speak about what the Lord has to say. And that's where you become humbled in yourself and you go back to that new birth, this new birth that he gives into a living hope. Now, we're going to get to the living hope right after the break because I know we're running short of time. But I just want to remind you of this. A new birth. How are you going to do that? Well, you can't.
You can't go back into your mother's womb, for crying out loud.
No. A new birth is something that only God can do. And only God can give. That was the whole point that Jesus said in John chapter 3 to Nicodemus. Nicodemus says, how can I be born again? Go back to my mother's womb. Jesus said, no. I'm talking about something else. I'm talking about real new birth. And that's what God gives you. Into a living hope. And that's what we'll come back to.
Pastor John Schmidtke from Bethlehem Lutheran Church. I hear the rumor there may be a star right above that congregation sometime coming soon. I don't know. Probably several of them. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We're going to talk when we come back about testing the genuineness of your faith. Join us The break's a great time to call in.
Servanthood is a core value of Concordia Seminary. To be a servant is alien to so many people in our society. Even some clergy take on authoritarian airs. But Jesus, Son of God and Lord of all, came as a servant. We want Concordia graduates to model servanthood to their congregations and to their communities. Servanthood, that's the Christian way.
There are many ways for you to keep up to date on the ministry of KFUO Radio. One of the easiest is to follow us on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/KFUO Radio, then click the like button. Every time we add something new to our Facebook page, you'll receive the updates on your news feed page. What will you find on KFUO's Facebook page? Well, you'll find program audio. Also, you'll receive the occasional behind-the-scenes video and information about the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Become our Facebook friend today and follow the ministry of KFUO Radio.
You can provide for the people you love and the ministries you care about, including KFUO Radio, through a charitable estate plan. By establishing a charitable annuity, trust, or other planned giving instrument, you and your spouse may enjoy cash payments for life and at the same time leave a legacy gift for KFUO Radio. Contact our gift planning specialist to learn more.
Call Joan Harwell at 800-844-0524. That's 800-844-0524.
I'm Pastor Doug Nicely. Do you have a minute? We don't often study the portions of the Bible that describe the incredible embarrassment brought upon the entire nation of Israel by the Babylonian captivity, the horrors of being dragged away to another land, separated from spouses and children, stripped bare of any dignity the people had left, and knowing that their homeland left behind was devastated must have been almost too much to bear. In what may very well be the saddest book of the Bible, Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, cried out to God in an agonizing question, why? That's the Hebrew title of our book, Lamentations. But then he answered his own question with these words, because of the Lord's great love we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. For men are not cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion, so great is his unfailing love. For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief on the children of men. What is the celebration of Christmas like in your home? Will it be different this year than it has been in the past? If so, then hear the real word of the Lord, as we remember that the Savior of the world was born in a cow trough. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Or as Martin Luther once reminded us, for in fact, God's kingdom comes in its own without our prayer, but we ask in this prayer that it may also come to us. Let's pray about this. Lord, teach us today that we don't make the coming of your kingdom happen, you do. And teach us how to love and to look for your coming even where we would least expect it. For you are there already going ahead of us. We pray in the name of Jesus, who is your final word of love to us in human flesh and blood. Amen.
Good morning. Welcome back. This is the Bible Study on listener-supported KFUO Radio. I'm Roland Lettner, your host. Thank you for being with us on, well, I mentioned it and Pastor commented on it because, well, this type of weather, it does get you right. You know, there's always that little something that hangs in the throat and makes it difficult to talk and all that. So you're doing a fine job here. You're working your way through the text. We are starting a new book if you're just joining us. First Peter, one that we have not spent much time in here on the Bible Study recently, but I think especially, as Pastor pointed out, these few precious days before Christmas, as we linger in the light of Advent, that dim light that will eventually brighten come Saturday and Sunday and then really start to glow come on Epiphany, that this is a good time to dwell on these words from Peter.
Well, now, Peter would disagree with you a little bit there.
He would.
Yeah, he would say...
I spent all night trying to write that.
He would say, not that the light is, you know, because, see, as resurrection people, the light is bright already right now. The light's bright right now.
Try and get dramatic.
And that's the point that, you know... Well, no, I'm glad you said that, Roland, because, see, it's a both and. You know, it's... Sure, Christmas Eve, it's, you know, Jesus, the light of the world. But then it's also right now, Jesus, the light of the world.
Yes.
You know, just like sort of in the same way we talked about resurrection earlier, he's risen. At our church, many times, I think every year we've done this, we'll sing Jesus Christ is risen today in the middle of July. Yeah, just to be reminded of that. Every Sunday is resurrection.
I don't disagree with you there, Pastor.
So Peter is speaking to people like you and me who are going through. That's the way old folks used to say it. I'm just going through.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again. Baptism language. That by faith in Christ, I've been born again into something. And now he says, into a living hope. A hope. Not, I hope that's going to happen, but a hope, a certainty. Early Christians used the symbol of an anchor as a symbol of hope. Digs down into the base of the riverbed or the base of the lake bed, and then you tie your boat to it and you don't move. Hope. But he says this hope is a living hope. It's a hope that's solid. It's sure. It's alive, though. It's a living hope. What's it made up of? Well, oh, by the way, a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's a living hope. Living and hope, solid. Because it's tied to a living Jesus. Living and solid. What is it? What is this living hope that Peter says to these Christians who are scattered, who are going through hard time in life, like you and me right now? He says, hang on to the living hope that you have through your baptism. What is it? Well, verse 4, he says, it's an inheritance. So it's a future inheritance. It's something that's coming up in the future. You and I know what that is, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm but a stranger here. That's like that alien language up from verse 1. Heaven is my home, as the old hymn says. And that there's something future coming that's better than what is present. It's a marvelous view when you face death.
In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, Pastor, you know, this is the criticism of the church today, that it's all pie in the sky and the sweet by and by. We got problems now. Brother, we got problems. That starts with P and rhymes with T and however the song goes, you know, from that old musical.
Well, you can't get to the second piece there until you finish with the future that's certain. Listen, the future that's certain, it's imperishable. See, you wouldn't buy into a future that was going to run out or that was going to go rotten.
Right.
So that this hope that you have in heaven, this confidence, it's imperishable. It will not fade away. Now watch this. It's reserved in heaven for you. Okay? So it's there. It's guarded. But now look at the next line. This is starting to move toward where you're saying, well, what about the now?
Right.
It's your hope in heaven of going to be with Jesus, to live in heaven, is reserved in heaven for you. It's safe there. For you who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Not only is your heavenly home reserved, but you right now are protected, are taken care of, are watched. God, it's as if as you're running the race, you have a security guard. It's as if you're the president, and you've got Secret Service all around you as you're running the race. And not only are they running to protect you, but they're also running to encourage you. They're running to help you as you go off the wrong, nope, don't go that way. That's what God's doing in your life, this living hope. It's a future inheritance. Now, as I have that future, what about my present? And that's where you're going.
Right.
In which he says, verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials. There's so many conflicting words in there. Start at the end. You're in the middle of trials and hard things. And do you notice the word before that? They're varied. They're multicolored. Same Greek word used at the beginning of James when he talks about multicolored temptations.
Yeah, yeah.
In other words, that the trial that you're going through is tailor-made. The devil has formed it for you because he knows where your Achilles heel is. And God has allowed it in the sense of a trial, a test, because God knows where to reach you. He knows where, he knows the areas of your life where you believe you can still control, and you can, and the areas of your life where if he hits you here, it's totally out of your control. There's nothing that you can do. You know, heart attack, cancer, those things. You can't do anything about them. Who can do anything about those? He says, in these trials that you're in, you greatly rejoice. Why would you ever rejoice in the midst of your trials?
That is the question.
Well, look what he says. In this you greatly rejoice as you're going. What are you greatly rejoicing in? You're not greatly rejoicing in your trials. You're rejoicing in the fact that there is a God who's got a hope, a certain place in heaven for you reserved, and a God who is Emmanuel, come down to this earth, who is protecting you and shielding you, another translation says, as you go through this life, as you face the trials. And look at what he says in the next phrase. In this, that God's running with you, even through your trials, you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, I'm just going to bring this one to you. When you get there, 1 Peter 5:10. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. That's the difference. Through faith, the trials for a little while, the trial you're going through, the trial's not your end. That's what God says. You're going through for a little while. And why? Verse 7. So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Why are you going through this trial? The proving of your faith and the strengthening of your faith. The proving of your faith. It's a test. You're in this moment. Who are you going to? Which report are you going to believe? Who are you going to trust? Are you going to trust the cancer? Or are you going to trust the God who is above and beyond the cancer? And remember what his answers are. There's two of it. His answer is, I can heal you in the cancer, or I can heal you through the cancer that you'll live after the cancer, namely in heaven. But no matter how it goes, he says, I'm over it. Or the hurt in your family or the finances, he'll take you through it. You're in it for just a little while. And in it, there's this test that you're in. There's this test that's going to show your faith. Where is your faith? Now, here's the amazing thing. I find in my life, many of the times that I'm in those tests, I fail the test. Because I keep turning back to myself.
Yeah.
But even though I fail the test, the God who's with me in the test doesn't fail me. He stays with me in the test.
But surely you can try his patience only so many times.
That's where his patience is infinite and his kindness, his mercy endures forever and ever and ever. The only time that we're separated is when I go away from him. And then he keeps hounding me, you know? He's sort of like the bloodhound, the hound of heaven, one person described him. The bloodhound who just keeps going down my path. I'm going to find him. Well, he doesn't even have to do that. He knows where I am. But he seeks me. He comes, the Son of Man. What did he do? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He keeps coming for me and coming for me. And he wants me so that he's going to take me through this test. And then the second part of that is he's going to strengthen me through the test. Remember how you were after you came out of a hard time, after you came out of a hard test, after you went through something that was just so difficult? Remember how you were after it? You were stronger. Remember how you were when you saw that God is faithful to his word and God brought you through and you don't know how you did it? Remember how you were when you look back? I remember someone at our church had a brain tumor. It's funny, every year on the anniversary of that, she sponsors the bulletin. She just says for blessings received. But we all know who were there, what it was all about, because she remembered in the middle of that, the God who is the God of life and the God of death was there for her.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Pastor John Schmidtke, our guest this morning, as we launch into 1 Peter, we're in the first chapter. We're going to try and get through verse 16. You're doing a great job here. If we have to pull up a little bit and pick up some ground tomorrow, we will certainly do that, all right? Now, picking up at verse 8, this has got to be, for today's reading, my favorite.
This is the climax. Here's what faith is. Go.
Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Faith comes from the Word of God, but it doesn't stay at the Word of God. Let me explain what I mean by that. That's why we're not Bibleaholics. Faith comes from hearing the word of Christ. But where does the Word take you? Remember what Jesus said in John. These scriptures are they that testify of me. And so where is your living hope? It's not in, oh, I got this Bible down now. I understand it. I can explain it and study it and, you know, all those other things. I've got an answer for everything.
Yep.
No, this is a marvelous verse. Though you've not seen him, not the Bible, Jesus, you love him, Jesus. And though you do not see him now, Jesus, you believe in Jesus. You greatly rejoice with inexpressible and joy and full of glory because it's Christ who's your Savior. And you come to know him through the Bible.
These things are written. That you may believe.
Now you say, well, wait a minute. So what do I need the Bible for? Where's that? Let's read on. 10 through 12.
Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the suffering of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that you have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things into which angels long to look.
So you're in this, you're like these people that Peter was talking to. You're alone, you're feeling alone, you're feeling scattered. You're going through it right now. Maybe it's sickness, maybe it's finances, maybe it's conflict in your family. Maybe it's just a sin, a particular sin that just keeps coming and coming at you, a temptation that you have not had victory over. God comes to you and me today through Peter and he says, I want to give you a new birth. Remember back to your baptism. It's still good, even though it was many years ago. And in your baptism, you have a living hope. How can you go forward? Here's what you need to hold on to. Here's what's solid. Number one, you have a future that's certain. Whether death, whether life, You will be with me, says the Lord, in heaven. Why? Because it's prepared, heaven is, and promised, heaven is, and guarded, heaven is, by God. And you, by God's Spirit, are guarded by God until you get there. Oh, but I'm going through stuff right now that's so hard. Yes, but you're present. You can rejoice even in your presence. That's hard because it's only for, he said here, a little while. Even though it's difficult. And through this, your faith is being tested. Your faith in who? In him who you love, who you have not seen, but you know is real, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what does the Bible have to say about all this? Why does he have in here 10 to 12? I love verse 12. It's revealed to them, the prophets, as they were writing, the apostles, that they were not serving themselves, but you. What were they doing for me in these things that now have been written and announced to you, that those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven? I thought they were just writing it down. They were writing it down for you. What do I need the Bible for right now? I need Jesus. That's all I need. No. Because I forget about my living hope. And so what he's saying in 10 to 12 is this living hope is nailed down and it's written and it's available to you and me over and over in the Word of God. That's why we have the Bible study program. And that's why we go to our scripture every day, because I forget. I got to be reminded of what I have in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the hope that I have in him. This living hope that my future is certain in heaven. This living hope that by faith I can hang on right now in my present, because God's got his hold on me. He's with me. Emmanuel, God with me. Now, he could have just stopped there at 12 and just said, well, that's it. Know it. Think about it a lot. And that's about it.
Yeah.
Then people like you and me would say, well, so now what? See, the living hope isn't only about the future that's certain, a present that's joyful, Word of God that reminds me of that. Your living hope is for living.
Yeah, and the way verse 12 concludes, it's almost like it sounds, the way we read it is sort of just a throwaway.
Yeah.
But oh my word, the angels are in the presence of God and the risen Christ, and they still long to look into these things that have been given to us.
And those things being the grace and the mercy of God and the faithfulness, his faithful record all the way down from the prophets. Micah 5:2, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. He was born in Bethlehem, even though it's hundreds of years past. He's going to be born of a virgin. He's born of a virgin, of the family of David. I will raise up from you from the house of Jesse. Over and over and over, the faithful God, even in the face of me, who many times is not faithful, most times is not. Now, okay. I know it. I think about it. Well, now what? Now we got to get it.
Verse 13. There you go. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, there's that word you used at the start of the program, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy.
The most important word in those verses 13 to 16 is the first. If you miss the first, which is a word that we mainly, many times, will just bypass, you're going to get it wrong. See, if you miss the first, you're just going to say, prepare your minds for action, keep sober in spirit, fix your hope completely. Be obedient. Don't be conformed. Be holy. And all of a sudden you're going to think, okay, well now, here's the real, real, real stuff. God wants me to do this. Well, see, the word that you can't miss is therefore. Therefore, having this future that's certain. And therefore, this present that's joyful because God is with me in my trials. And therefore, I've got it in the Word of God that I can keep going back so I get refreshed and renewed and righted when I see it wrong, you know, of God's grace. Therefore, now he says, live it. Therefore, let me say therefore in a different way. Therefore, depending on that living hope, now live it out. Sounds just like James, doesn't it?
It does.
James is right on target. Live it out. How? Live it out. Prepare your minds for actions. Prepare. Dependent on something in your mind. What in your mind? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that's with you. And then he says, now what? Well, keep sober in spirit. Yeah, there's a decision there. Don't go back to sin. Be alert, looking for when Christ comes back. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you. Discern, where are you headed? What's your direction? This life is not all that there is. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts. Denial. Every time you say yes, you also say no. Every time you say no, you usually say yes. Denial. You can't have it all, like the beer commercial said years ago.
Well,
you can't. You can't. But you have a living hope. A living hope that is one to be lived. The obedience of the life of a Christian isn't by which we're saved. It's how we live as saved, because that's the direction that God's got for us on the way to this heavenly home where in our future where we're going to be going for certain. Like the one who holy one who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior, not just in some. Now, you know, this has got a double whammy. Double whammy on the one end. Whammy on the one end. Here's where your direction is. But then whammy on the other end. Oh, I keep blowing it in that direction. Which takes me back to the living hope. Even though I keep blowing it, there was still that Christ who died for me.
Sounds like you're talking about repentance.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones very quickly. Jim, let's get you in here before the program ends. We got about a minute, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. Good to hear you again, Pastor John and Roland. I just really appreciate how you exemplify the word therefore, because I try to remember to pray every morning that the Lord could lead me to someone that needs that hope, and makes all the difference in the world. We just studied 1st and 2nd Peter in Lifelight this year in this season, and it's just such a beautiful piece of scripture. Thank yes. you. I'll listen.
Thank you. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, it's a living hope. It's a hope. It's a confidence in our Lord Jesus Christ. And like Jim said, that we got to be reminded of. In fact, that's what we do every time we gather on Sunday mornings. I tell the church, my church, all the time, I said, you know, I didn't really tell you anything new today. You'd heard it before. But I did remind you of something you needed. And that is that you've got a God who is gracious and merciful and never departs from you, who's come to be not at a distance from you, but to come to be right next to you. That's what Emmanuel and Christmas are all about. He's come to give you a future that's certain. You don't have to be afraid of death. He's conquered it. And a present that's joyful. You don't have to be afraid of what you face right now. He's holding you in it.
Pastor John Schmidtke serves as the shepherd at Bethlehem Lutheran Church here in the St. Louis area. Shepherd, get that? Shepherd, Bethlehem? It's funny how all this works out, isn't it? We have a little bit of fun with this. Marvelous job, my friend. Thank you so much. Excellent words. Thanks for the comfort.
God's blessings.
Take care. Ask the Pastor continues right after these announcements. Stick around.
We thank you for listening to the Bible Study on KFUO Radio. underwritten exclusively by Concordia Seminary St. Louis, now featuring online learning through iTunes U. Visit csl.edu for more information about Concordia Seminary. Stay tuned. Ask the Pastor, coming up next, Hour 2 of the Bible Study on KFUO Radio.